This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fourth, the final hour of the show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you here on the first show of 2025, ladies and gentlemen, a quarter of the way done with the 2000s already. Yes, it does make me feel old. As hell. So does looking at the baby face of our next guest, a man for whom I can take all the credit for his success in his career. He is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear right here on this and fine Odyssey stations around the country. He is also the producer and host of like 15 other shows around the network. Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hating Ass Mario, joining us here on the show.
By the way, since he cut the hair, it's very cherub looking.
Somehow he went from looking 16 years old on the air to 9 with the haircut.
I will say I have like lost years of life with the haircut. Like, I do look in the mirror and go, God, why do I look like I'm 17? I'm getting carded a lot more. That's, like, for sure. Last time I got carded, they asked for 2 forms, and everyone else got 1 form, and that hurt the ego a little bit. I was like, all right, come on, man.
All right, please. I got it. I'll solve it for you. Soul patch. That's what you need.
Get you a little Van, Van Gogh going on. Yeah. Yeah,
it'll work.
I'm all set.
We saw one time many moons ago, Hating Ass Mario show up on the air with his attempt at a beard. Not great.
No,
not great.
It was at the time I was dating someone who loved it when I had a mustache, and I looked back on it. I was like, boy, did that look bad.
Yeah, the only thing that mustache made me think was that you're not allowed within 500 yards of a school.
Hey, man. Don't change for her. If she doesn't like you how you are, she's not the right one for you.
Yes, Lonzo, because men definitely don't change for the ladies. That's a thing that instinctively don't do.
All right.
Men would never do that.
Disregard left at the altar guy. Okay. Disregard that guy.
I am actively married.
You are
man.
Now. You are now.
Actively married.
You are now. Actively. and listen to someone who's been married for 32 years. I mean, you know, and anyway. Listen to Rob all you want. It'll be a while before.
I mean, look, he's listened to me so far, and he's the executive producer of a nationally syndicated show.
Yeah.
So
he was already executive producer before you met him. So I don't know how you helped
him. Yeah, but look at him now. That's all me. You're welcome, by the way, Mario.
Thank you.
Although that looks like a plain white tee. I don't know if I would.
It is. You are kind of basic white guy today. Let me guess. You got joggers and slides on right now.
Okay. Joggers are very comfortable. Okay, so let's not, you know, crap on them. And this is not a white tee. This is actually like a cream color, and this is...
It's egg white.
It's got like lines in it. It's pretty nice.
Someone saying it's actually eggshell is the exact person who grows a soul patch and a mustache for a lady.
He's trying to contrast with his plain background back there by making it glow a little bit with that kind of white.
Mm-hmm. I got to figure out the background. If there's one thing I'm really not good at in this world, it's figuring out a background. I don't know why. I have no vision for it. It's like decorating. If you looked at my apartment for decorations, it's brutal. Like, I have no insight for it.
Oh, no, we know.
Okay. Yeah. Hurtful.
Yeah. I mean, but not incorrect.
Still up sports stuff, man. I mean, come on.
It's a lot. So it's a Conor McGregor. There's a Conor McGregor poster. There's a Tiger Woods.
That made it worse, not better, dude. Why Conor McGregor?
Because it's a photo after he went 2-time double champ, which was like the peak McGregor. Now McGregor stinks.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with being a fan of the double champ. Now, off out of the octagon, not really a good dude, but in the octagon a while, he was the man.
I mean,
the man. Thank you.
Yeah, Rob is jealous of his oratory.
No, he's just
skills.
He's just kind of a gigantic piece of crap. That's all.
I have an Israel Adesanya one too.
There you go.
That's my favorite. I love Adesanya.
I mean,
he's got a fight coming up February 11th.
I'm better with that. All right, let's get to some NFL talk here. Hayden asks, Mario, we go into this weekend. There's really not a ton up for grabs. We talked a little bit about this last night because your guest host on BetMGM tonight was not just dashingly handsome, but also quite eloquent in his discussion of the NFL. But we'll get your thoughts on it now. Baltimore playing to win the AFC North. They just need a win against Cleveland. The Steelers need a win against Cincinnati and a Ravens loss. So I think at this point, pretty much in the bag, the Ravens are winning this division. The interesting team here is Cincinnati. They play Saturday at 8. The two games outside of their game, Denver versus the backups of the Chiefs and Miami taking on the Jets, those games won't matter to Cincinnati if they don't knock off the Steelers. Is there a legitimate chance that Cincinnati ends up in the playoffs despite coming into the final week of the season at 500?
No, because of the Denver thing. I'd be shocked if Denver ends up losing to Kansas City. And I think Bengals, by the way, lose this weekend to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know like the Steelers have been struggling, but I am not going to bet on Mike Tomlin to lose four games in a row. Like, I'm just not going to do it right before the playoffs. That doesn't seem very Mike Tomlin thing to do. I think they're going to go in for a statement win and beat the living snot out of the Bengals. Like, look, that defense is still nothing to run home about in Cincinnati. You have to rely on Joe Burrow to, you know, do crazy miracle things. And let's be honest, if Denver Broncos didn't have a rookie QB starting for them, do they win that game against the Broncos? Like, do they win that? I mean, against the Bengals, do they win? Like, I screwed that up, but you get what I mean. If the Bengals, you know, face the team. Let's say that was the Chargers. The Chargers win that game. They did do that. Let's say that's maybe even against, I would even say the Dolphins. Like, do the Dolphins win that game with a healthy Tua? Like, what happens in that? They lucked out in it. I don't think it's going to luck out again against Pittsburgh. I think they win that game. Joe Burrow has had an MVP-level season. Should he be in the conversation? He should, but his just team's not good enough, so he's just not going to win it. He's, you know, he should be at the dinner, but he's not going to pick up the check. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just not going to do it for him. And I think the Bengals go home at the end of week 18, and they start Cancun a little early this year.
Yeah, no, I'm going to ride with that. 10% chance that they sneak their way in. But here's the follow-up. I asked this to Lonzo earlier. I'll ask it to you. If you are Kansas City taking on Denver, yeah, it's a rival. Yeah, it's a divisional matchup. You're already locked in at the one seed. Don't you absolutely throw this game to make sure that Bo Nix is in and not Joey B and risk it becoming Burrowhead Stadium again? Because it feels like if the Bengals get in, it's because the second half's been good. They've carried a bunch of momentum. If I'm Kansas City, not only am I playing Carson Wentz, I'm grabbing 21 dudes in jerseys out of the stands and sending them out there to play. I'm punting on this game to keep Joe Burrow out. I'm not even risking that the two games on Sunday go the way that the Bengals need them to go.
I'm with you. And like, the Chiefs already came out. You know, Mahomes isn't playing. It's going to be Carson Wentz starting at quarterback. I'm imagining Kelsey's probably not going to play. Like, I imagine more of their guys are probably going to rest in this game. And you make a good point. If you have a chance to keep a guy that's playing his best football out of the playoffs, you know, you take that risk, right? You can go, yeah, I don't want to face a Hot Burrow there. I don't want to have to face a Jamar Chase, a T. Higgins, you know, kind of get that out. And I'm fascinated too to what happens in Cincinnati like this offseason. Like, do they finally say goodbye to Zach Taylor? Like, you know, besides that Super Bowl run, it's kind of been kind of touch and go over there in Cincy. And, you know, how much longer do you want to stay in a season or stay in an era where every year you start off 0-3 and you just go, well, it's just another slow start for us. But don't you want to start off hot? Like, you know, I bet you'd like to have a couple of those early games back right now. Like, you'd be in the playoffs if you had those back. So if you're able to keep one of the best QBs out, I think that's, you know, very, very fair. And like, look, the AFC, man, it's a gauntlet. Like, it really is. Like, from Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes to Herbert with Harbaugh, that's going to be a hard game for anyone too. And then you have a Mike Tomlin team you have to face. Like, the only team that's kind of, you know, a cupcake team to play. And like, if you get them in the first round, I think, you know, it's an automatic bet on them, and fade is the Texans. Like, if you get the Texans in the first round, I think God bless you. Everyone wants that, you know, fifth seed to face them. But if you have to go, what, at Baltimore or at Buffalo, like, those two might be big time death sentences.
Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We got into this conversation a little bit last night. I gave my teams on the show last night, but if I asked you, Mario, assuming the most likely outcomes or the betting line favorites all win this weekend, that would make your wild card teams in the AFC, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Broncos. There is the potential for Miami and Cincinnati to get in, though it's a lot more likely they don't. In the NFC, Minnesota, Washington, and Green Bay. Taking a 14-win Minnesota team off the table, because that's the obvious answer. So Washington, Green Bay, the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Steelers. Is there a wild card team you think could get hot and go on a run to, not win, but to the Super Bowl?
So I know they struggled against playoff teams, but their draw could be pretty beneficial depending on how healthy Jalen Hurts is. The Green Bay Packers, like, if you face Philly and they're a talented enough team, and you have, you know, Matt LaFleur is a good enough coach, and you go there and they do not have Jalen Hurts, and they really have to lean on Saquon Barkley, and they have to, you know, lean on maybe Kenny Pickett, who also is hurt right now too. So you have a backup QB who's not 100%, probably about 70%. And you have, you know, your defense isn't bad. And then on the other side of the football, your QB is extremely, extremely talented, who has lots of weapons, and you have a great offensive mind at head coach. That could be a team I think that could be a little dangerous. And like, if they get past Philly, if you can win in Philly, then I'm sorry, but you could sure as hell win in LA against the Rams, which, by the way, that would probably be almost a home game for the Green Bay Packers because of how well they travel. And then you face, you know, if you don't face the Rams, you'd face the Commanders. So you're going to face a rookie QB in the second round. I would take that. Just based off draw, I think the Packers would kind of be the best go. And then, you know, let's say they get past those two games. For sake of argument, Detroit's over there, you know, waiting for you in the NFC Championship. Detroit has to beat you three times. I know it's in Detroit, but that's a tall ass to do, right? Like, it's very hard to beat a team three times. So already you kind of have that going for you. That's kind of like the route. And if you had to make me choose between, you know, those wild card teams, I think Green Bay is kind of set up for that better. Do I think they're going to do that? No, but right now luck is kind of on their side, if you will. Like, they could get a pretty good hand here and, you know, end up banking it pretty far. And as long as Matt LaFleur doesn't do something bad and, you know, I don't know, give Hall of Fame quarterback a lot of time to win a game, they'll be okay.
You brought him up a couple of times. I have zero belief in the Green Bay Packers. I think the Green Bay Packers are the most overhyped team in the NFL right now. I think they're good. I want to be clear. I think they're good, but I don't put them up there in the category with Philadelphia. I don't put them in the category with Minnesota, Detroit. I don't put them in the category with Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City. They are, and this was pointed out last night, and I forget who it was on the show that pointed it out. They played five playoff teams this year, their own five, against the five playoff teams. They have not. Yeah. They went on that little mini run, and I broke that down. My man, that mini run was against NFL teams with a win-loss record of like 42% when you book it. It's not that impressive. This feels to me like a team that is a bit of a mirage. I think Jordan Love's good. I think this team is going to get better. But the folks that are putting Green Bay down as a potential dark horse out of the NFC, I think are way misguided.
I completely understand that. I get your point, and I'm going to tell you why I'm like short-sighted in that. I grew up a Bears fan. I've done this before where I've doubted the Packers, where I go, no, it's not their year. You know, they're not this, they're not that. And then I just get, you know, kicked right in the you-know-what, and I, you know, cry for pain and cry for my mom. So I've done this dance before. I don't believe in Green Bay, but I do understand it, right? And by the way, very, very young team, right? Like, this is a team that's still kind of, I guess, finding their identity in a way. But, man, I mean, if they get a, you know, 50% backup QB, if they get a rookie QB in the second round, that's pretty nice. Like, I understand they struggle against, you know, playoff teams. Like you said, they're 0-5, but, like, playoff time's different. And, you know, Jordan Love versus Kenny Pickett, I would take Jordan Love, obviously. Jordan Love versus, you know, Jaden Daniels, I would take Jordan Love, obviously. Like, there's things that could happen for him. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I have – a lot more faith than other teams in the NFC. I think it's Detroit or nothing really in there. And I think Detroit wins this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings. But hey, I don't know. We'll see. The team that's really confusing to me, Rob, that I didn't be able to figure out all year is every time I bet against them, they win. Every time I bet with them, they lose, is the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, they just kick me around like no other.
That is funny. Decker and I were having the conversation last Saturday on Bet for the Cycle about which team do you want to see the least out of the wild card spot in the playoffs, and both of us went with the LA Rams. Like, that's a team that feels like with Sean McVay, they can kind of figure out the strengths to pull Puka Nacua after the injury has started to heat back up. Anytime Nacua is doing well, the numbers come up for Cooper Kupp. Kyren's been a monster behind the line of scrimmage. You add on top of all of that that Matt Stafford is still defying age and doing Matt Stafford things. That, to me, if you asked me to pick one, the two I was going with out of the NFC, the Washington Commanders behind Rob Brown's Rookie of the Year pick, Jaden Daniels, you're welcome, and the LA Rams are the two teams I'm most afraid of.
And the Rams, like, in the past 3 weeks, they haven't allowed an opponent to score more than 9 points. And I know those, you know, offenses, you know, it's the Niners, Jets, and Cardinals, but, like, that defense is stepping up really, really big, and let's say they kind of carry the momentum into playoff time. You know, if you can't score more than, you know, 14, 17 points in it against a Sean McVay offense, you're not going to win that game, right? You mentioned, like, the weapons that they have with Kyren, with Puka, with Kupp, and Stafford's, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback with one of the best offensive minds going with Sean McVay. That's a hard team to beat, man. And, like, and they have experience in doing it before, so they have leaders in that locker room that go, hey, this is how it's done, this is how we do it, and let's believe in each other and get this done. I wouldn't want to face them. Commanders, I'm going to be honest with you, I think I'd feel a little bit more comfortable in facing the Commanders.
I don't disagree. I still don't want to risk Jaden Daniels in a high-pressure game because all that dude does is win. It's pretty impressive. Hayden has Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. He is the executive producer of BetMGM tonight, which you can hear on this and find Odyssey stations everywhere every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Joins us every Thursday at 9 a.m. to talk some NFL football. We'll start transitioning to the NBA in the next couple of weeks as we head towards the Super Bowl, just about a month and some change away. My man, good to have you as always, Big Dog. Thanks for coming by, partner.
Thanks as always, and I'd like to make a public announcement. Rob Brown needs to wear a cowboy hat 24/7.
I mean, I don't disagree. They did base the character Rip from Yellowstone off of me, so that makes a lot of sense.
They did.
It sounds like an old man show that old people watch.
No, it is a show about cowboys who don't know anything about cowboys. Made for the ladies, yeah, because my wife is head over heels about Rip to the point that I'm relatively sure she's trying to dress me like him without telling me she's doing that.
It's also the only show with cowboys where they talk in the biggest, like, riddles of all time.
Yeah,
like, I've never heard a cowboy.
It's real dumb.
Crazy.
It's real dumb. I try it. Yeah. And I don't think she's listening, so I can get away with it. I worked on a farm for 3 summers. You know what it is? It's the Big Bang Theory for cowboys. Like, Big Bang Theory is a show about nerds written by people like, we think this is what nerds are like. And it's like, if you're a nerd, you're like, yo, bleep this show. This is really dumb. If you've ever worked on a ranch before, you watch Yellowstone and you're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And unfortunately, that's me.
Yes. Like, that. If in the show, if someone's like, oh, how was your day? It's like, you know, when a cow is about to die, they look to the stars, and then it's like, what? Like, it's that's like half the stuff. I'm like, and
if you've ever been around people who work on the ranch, their goal is to get the information across in as few words as possible. They're just gonna go fine, and that's it. I agree, it's dumb. And you know it's dumb because if Mario and I agree on something outside of the world of sports, good chance it's true. Good chance.
Yes.
Hating ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. Big Dog, have a good show tonight. Appreciate you, my man. Talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure. Love you.
It's mine. When we come back, Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. We talk some pro wrestling next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Welcome back to Fight Club, the first one of 2025. Haven't been around for a couple weeks just because the way
it sounded so dramatic,
you know, the way things went. So a lot of things to catch up on if we were looking back, but we're not looking back. We're looking forward. 2024 is in the rear view, except for I am curious, would that interview with Dax Harwood, would it have been different if I was here?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Do you think I would have the guts to do what I've needed to do?
I don't know that you would have. What I do know is when we started that interview with Dax Harwood, it opened up with Dax talking about hurricane relief and how much it meant to him to not just have a show in the Carolinas, but have a show in the Carolinas that was based around the ability to raise money and help for the places that he knows and loves. He was very complimentary of the upstate. He was very complimentary of Asheville, et cetera. He was so damn laid back and cool and nice out of the gate that I think even if you did have the guts to bust him up on the you and Cash are liars take, I don't think you would have done it because he was so damn cool.
I had the opportunity. You told me you were going to have him on. I could have jumped on, but I was on vacation.
Yep.
And I was busy, so I couldn't do it. Plus, I still wouldn't have done it because I was on vacation. And when I'm on vacation, I try to stay as far away from radio as I possibly can.
Correct. I will tell you as an aside from that, he did tell me that he will be here tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow. He's going to do some time with the Rise guys.
Ah.
And he said that he was going to, after our interview, he's like, I'm going to see if I can carve out maybe a segment to come down and sit with you guys in the studio. So we may have him back on face-to-face tomorrow.
Wow.
And then you can tell him he's a liar and a troll.
You don't think I'll do it?
I don't know. I just know
you,
I'm...
You don't think I'll do it?
I just know I'm sitting on this side of the desk
the
when you do.
The thing is, you know, if I do it and it turns into something, I can't go anywhere. My leg's messed up.
That's true.
So, you know, most people, when they look for confrontation, they either know that they could take the guy across from them or they can run really fast, and I can't do either. I still will say it.
That's fair. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if they find the time. He did tell me that he's booked for a pretty solid in and out, but he and his handler are going to try to find the time to come down.
I have been chastised, looked upon negatively because I say I don't like it because they're liars, and people get mad at me, including you and Rob Young from Borderlands Comics and Games. Why don't you like them? Because they're liars. I mean, you know, if they had gone through their entire career after they said no flips, just fists, and that's what they did, I'd be on board. But I've seen them flip. I've seen them. Oh, this is rare, them going to the top rope, and they do it a lot, okay? I mean, don't come up with a moniker and then not stick to it, all right? We are the best sports show in the state of South Carolina.
And sometimes we're not.
No, we stick to that. We stick to that. The other thing was a management snafu we're going to go with. All right. Speaking of AEW, I still got time to get to WWE. What does AEW need to do to get better in 2025?
Oh, we're doing some New Year's resolutions here. Well,
We did that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But as far as this goes, just for AEW, because there's been a drop off, not only in attendance, and it's been documented, there's been a drop off in attendance, but there's been a drop off between us as far as how much we've paid attention to
it. I don't
it.
Disagree with that. You are correct. And in fact, I realized that when I was doing that interview on Monday. I'm like, man, we had just had a back-to-back of two pay-per-views. Last night was simulcast, but on Max as well, of two pay-per-views in 4 days, and we like barely touched it leading out. Now, granted, you were on vacation, and we had all the different scheduling stuff over the holidays and whatever. But I think there's a couple of things. Number one, I think that they need to be a little bit more varied. It just always seems like it's the same stars being recycled into their top-notch storylines, right? Like, it's like as soon as they get out of one. You've had this story going with Moxley and Orange Cassidy, and then the next thing I know, here's Hangman, here's OC, here's so-and-so, here's this, here's that, the other. Like, it's just the same guys being rotated, and very, very rarely you having somebody jump up. I don't understand, for instance, why Swerve Strickland did such a great job as your bannerman for a second, and now he's just right back to going back, and now he's feuding with Ricochet, who has showed up and really done nothing.
By the way, I gotta say, I like what they're doing with Ricochet.
I think the potential's there.
Because they know how annoying he is on the mic and how nerdy he is, and they're just letting him go there and be that guy to the point of annoyance. I still say he ends up in the Hurt Syndicate.
You may not be wrong, but I think in a spot like that, what you have to be very careful of, and this is something we've talked about, there's a term for it. I think you have to be very careful of getting to the point where you risk taking a guy and putting him into what we call X-Pac heat, right? Like, we're not chanting boo because we don't like your heel character. We're chanting boo because you're just bad at this. Like, you're just bad at this, and you keep getting rammed into the forelight. I think there is the potential for Ricochet to be very good down the stretch. But I mean, it's not hitting the way that I had hoped that he had hit in the first place. But all of that being said, I think you got to spur. And I think the other thing is, and I think you're seeing this with, for instance, Moxley, who is one of the guys that we know is very much in control of his creative. I think AEW made one major change that had them take that step back. And that change is, it got to the point where Tony Khan started wanting to be the booker. So and stopped letting the wrestlers do the creative in the wrestling. And I think you got to get back to that. Go back to what made you great out of the gate, which was you let the wrestlers who understand the business tell your wrestling stories before you decided to take over. And I got a lot of respect for Tony Khan continuing to push ahead, but like, sometimes even people who are good at what they do make a mistake. And I think him taking over too much creative control has caused this whole thing to take a step back.
By the way, I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed, because when they succeed, it causes competition. When there's competition, it's more entertaining. And we were talking off the air about how you said Dax mentioned how AEW is and how it's a place for wrestlers. You know, Orange Cassidy said the same thing. Anyone from AEW we've had on has all talked about what a great place it is to work and how they're able to be creative and all that kind of thing. So I want that to continue. But declining attendance and stuff eventually, that's going to be a problem.
Well, okay, so this is a conversation that's been had a couple of times, and it's a fair one to have. But the answer is, declining attendance only becomes a problem if the TV network that is filming and putting the show out decides it's a problem. You could do, and we've had this conversation about the NFL and college football, if tomorrow every college and NFL team was told they're not allowed to have fans anymore, football ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, because we've seen that already.
So. In-person attendance. We had COVID. We had lockdown. Nobody could do anything, and football still thrived. Why? Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is how many eyeballs are on the product at the crib. And if 70,000, 80,000 people can't go to a football game, that's just 80,000 more people that are going to be watching the television show at the house. So the question is, what's viewership doing? And the answer for AEW is, right now it's plateaued. It's not going down, but it's not going up either. And the question is, do you fall into that trap of not stepping forward is stepping backwards? And to TV networks, that's true. But this deal they're on right now, Lonzo, like, it's a relatively new TV deal for them. So I don't think they're in that danger yet. But I absolutely do think they are going to have to go back to what I thought was the best era of AEW, which was those first 2 or 3 years where there weren't bookers. There were wrestlers, and they got told, you and you do a storyline, and they wrote their stuff out, and it was phenomenal.
All right, speaking of networks, let's talk about the biggest move and the most advertised move in the history of all of wrestling, Raw on Netflix. Do you recall ever this? I mean, this thing has got to be magnificent. It's got to be amazing. It's got to be any adjective that you could think of describing this move. It's got to be all that with all the hype around it.
Well, and okay. First off, no, but done, because they've already signed the contract and there's a gazillion dollars that's already there. The question is, does it stay there after however long this contract is, 2-3 years, whatever that contract is? But the reality is, I think what you're going to get here, and I don't think it's going to be like, you know, have to change the rating or whatever, but we know the rating's going up to what? Just regular PG, I believe, or PG-13, whatever that next step is. I think you're going to get the occasional additional and maybe one more and a couple of down the line. But I don't think it's going to become like some dramatic rated X Netflix style show. The question mark is, They're setting the tone. We know we're getting Cena on a Monday night. We know we're getting Tribal Combat.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Right.
So Cena's tour starts, his farewell tour. From my understanding, from what I've seen, he's putting aside his entire slate is clean and just for wrestling this final year. That he's not filming anything. He's not doing anything. He's just going to wrestle.
Yeah. It's you're bringing that heat. You're bringing Tribal Combat. You're bringing a couple of the top-notch women's feuds.
Tribal Combat. Who you got between Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa? Because it wouldn't shock me if Solo still won.
It would not shock me, but I would also say that I think a chunk of it is going to be this storyline's not dying till WrestleMania, right? And if you have either one of the two of them get a clean win over the other, there's two ways you do it. Either Solo gets the clean win and Roman goes on his reflective tour, maybe he goes on the apology tour that McIntyre wants him on, or Roman gets the clean win, in which case, in what world is anybody following Solo Sikoa? Now I got a bunch of individual dudes out there. I don't think you're getting anything clean. I think this is going to be chaos, and I think it's still leading up to that WrestleMania
match.
Also,
Roman's going to end up being on Raw, and Solo's going to end up being on SmackDown. So they have to, do you take it away from them and do it? I don't know.
I think the other thing, and sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I think the other thing is going to be, I think for at least the first handful of weeks, maybe months of Raw on Netflix, I think it's going to be a combined roster. I think you're going to get a lot of SmackDown people over. I think they are going to try to jack the ratings.
The transfer portal is open now.
Exactly.
So,
that's the thing. They keep saying that, but they don't tell you what it means. Yeah. I honestly think that means guys can just go back and forth, right? Sami Zayn's been on both shows for the last 5 weeks running now. I think it's going to be SmackDown guys will show up, and it'll be like a surprise. Oh, look who's here tonight, coming over from SmackDown. It's so-and-so. I think you're going to see a lot of bleed over early just to kind of get the initial ratings through the roof and hook people to keep them coming back.
All right, speaking of which, this is PLE caliber matches coming up. I mean, what are they going to do next week? Are they doing too much? So Women's World Championship it's a last woman standing match between Liv and Rhea. I'm going to go ahead and say I think Liv keeps the belt. And I think Charlotte, it's time for Charlotte to come back. And I think Charlotte costs Rhea Ripley.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. You're not going to like this, and I don't care you're wrong. If Charlotte comes back and costs Rhea, Charlotte comes back as a heel. Hands down, no questions asked. She is a mega heel if she does it. The question is, then what am I doing with Liv Morgan? Because now I've got Rhea and Charlotte. What am I doing with Liv Morgan without Rhea Ripley involved in that picture? Or do we have a three-way dance where you have Liv kind of as a tweener? I don't know how you handle that.
I think it depends on who's going to be on what show. I still that's always going to factor in.
That's fair.
I know what you're saying. The first couple of weeks, it probably will be a lot on both. But eventually, they're going to have to settle because there are champions on each show. And they're going to, I think that's what's, because Charlotte's due to come back. And if she comes back, is she going to cost, Rhea or is she going to cost Liv? She's going to cost Rhea because that's the match people want to see again is Rhea and Charlotte. CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. This was supposed to be WrestleMania last year. We get it on Monday Night Raw this week.
You know who is going to win this. That being said, and I want to be abundantly clear, Seth Rollins is right.
Yes, he is.
Everything he said about CM Punk is absolutely. In fact, I haven't watched all of it yet, but I saw the promo from Monday. And the only thing Seth did that was really a heel was dropping that I've raised a kid and you don't know what that. Okay, like whatever. Who
he had to respond because of what CM Punk said.
Right. So to me, this is one of those spots where, you know, I've said in many years the best heels are the heels that have a point, but then they go too far. Seth has a point and he's not even going too far.
Yeah, we've got three heels who have a point. Speaking of which, Drew McIntyre versus Jey Uso. And when I say three heels who have a point, or three babyfaces who have a point, will that lead to a faction like some people speculate with Kevin Owens, with Drew McIntyre, and with Seth Rollins?
That'd be super dope if it does. The problem is, I don't think there's a spot for Seth in there right there without cooling off the Punk thing, and that right now is your focus. Now, maybe they change that after Raw, depending on what happens in that. This is going to be interesting because I think like a majority of the matches taking place on Monday Night Raw on Netflix, like a majority of the matches to me, need a dirty finish to continue the feud. I don't think you can have a clean finish and continue the feud, but I'll tell you what you can't do on Night 1 on Raw is have five PLE caliber cards and have four of them go to a dirty finish. Like, you can't do that. You got to have some winners. So
who wins between Drew and Jay?
I think Drew does,
yeah,
honestly.
I think so.
Drew does. I think you've got to keep Drew. I think you got to keep Drew ready to pounce when the bloodline hits their whatever their crescendo is. Drew's got to be right there. And that's why you had to have him beat Sami the other night, even though the crowd is massively pro Sami Zayn right now. So we'll see. I'll tell you this. It's going to be the first Monday Night Raw that I watch live and in real time in a very long time. I usually watch them on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when I come into work in the morning. I'll be watching Monday Night Live for sure. All right, that's going to do it for Fight Club, which we do every Thursday at 9:20 when we come back. Our final couple of thoughts, and then we'll ask what the X is going on and get up out of here for the day. It's Rob, it's Lonzo, it's you, it's the Rob Brown Show, it's the Fan Upstate. All right, got a few minutes here before we ask what the X is going on and get up out of here for the day. Georgia-Notre Dame coming up at 4 p.m.
By the way, we're going to have to listen to that. I'm pretty sure he said Rod Brown.
Kane's in my head, man.
No, I'm talking about the
liner. Oh, the announcer guy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Even better. Oh, look, right as I say that, right on command, here's Kane popping into the Facebook chat. Kane, you have started a trend, man. It's just the Hot Rod Brown Show at this point. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. If tomorrow I got the call to change markets, I might request to change my stage name to Rod Brown. Genuinely would consider changing my stage name. Rob Brown's not a stage name. That's just my name, all right? Mainly because there's 98 of them in any given city of America. I did not need a stage name when I started the show. But if I ever end up going anywhere else, Kane, I want you to know because of you, there's a very solid chance I might ask my new employers, hey, can I go ahead and make a name change and change my name to Rod Brown to become the Hot Rod Show? Because I'd do it.
See, this would be perfect for you, though. So when people mispronounce Rod, they'd be calling you Rob, and it's perfect psychology.
It really is. The old reverse psychology. Hell yeah. Anyway, I'm Rod. He's Zoe. We're glad to have you. I'm going to call you Bo. If I'm Rod, you're Bo. That's just how it's going to be. Notre Dame taking on Georgia tonight. Zoe, I am taking the Irish here. And I can't figure out if it's because my football thought is good, which is Georgia struggled with mobile quarterbacks this year, right? They struggled with DJ Lagway. They were trailing Florida at the half. They struggled with Nico Iamaliava. They trailed Tennessee at the half. Quarterbacks that can extend plays outside of the pocket have given Georgia fits. And that is kind of what Riley Leonard does. He's a guy that even if the pocket breaks down, he can extend a play by getting north and south and picking up 4, 5, 6 yards on a scramble. He's not electrifying with a football, but he's good enough. And that's been a problem for Georgia. Then I look at the fact that Notre Dame's defense might be the most unappreciated defense in the college football playoff bracket this year. I think this is the year. And again, if I'm wrong about this, it's just going to be what it is, and I'll eat it tomorrow on the show. But I think this is the year Notre Dame can kind of kill off that narrative that not ready for an SEC team.
No, I think they're coming in with the mentality, backup quarterback, let's make the quarterback beat us, and he will. That's what I think is going to happen. I think Georgia's backup quarterback is going to come in and torch Notre Dame.
And that's going to be interesting.
Because they're going to be, as most teams do, seem to, of the opinion, well, it's backup quarterback, they're just going to hand the ball off a lot. They probably won't do that.
Here's the thing, and we talked about this earlier in the show. We'll talk about it again real quick. Georgia's quarterback has thrown 51 career passes. You are now asking him to jump on board against a good and aggressive Notre Dame defense and lead this team. And on top of that, keep in mind, Georgia's run game is good, but it ain't what it's used to be.
When's the last time Georgia played a game?
The SEC championship 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. By the way,
so they've had time for him to get some reps. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine. You can't simulate in game in championship playoff.
You're
reps,
right. You're right. But
you can't.
Neither Notre Dame can't simulate that either. So
not wrong. But Riley Leonard's been a 3-year starter now. This kid's got 51 passes total. Riley Leonard saw 51 passes in a game.
And how many times were they in the playoffs since he's been a star?
Riley Leonard just transferred to Notre Dame this year. His first year on the team. He was playing for way less talented teams.
I think you're missing the point. Notre Dame has no championship experience either.
That's fair.
Because they haven't been in the playoffs in a while.
That's fair. But Riley Leonard's got 50 games under his belt. Gunnar Stockton has 50 passes under his belt. I do think there is something to that, even if it's not as big of a deal as you think I'm making it out to be. By the way, you know if Oregon would have lost the Big Ten championship game, their path to the playoff would have been Clemson, Arizona State, and then maybe Ohio State?
Wow.
We might have teams start throwing conference championship games. I thought about that a couple of breaks ago.
We might. I think the Bulldogs are going to win, but I'm not going to do that barking thing that you do. When you say that grown men don't do that, but then you do that. I don't get it.
For the record, there is a difference between barking in another grown-up's face.
Okay. All right. Well, you kind of were face-to-face, so, I mean, you're kind of doing it. I realize we're not that close, but still. All right. The first thing is Xing is targeting.
Okay. So, I should have gotten this early in the show. Damn, I should have got into this. I blew it. The targeting controversy and the call in the Arizona State-Texas game. If Arizona State, if that's a targeting call, they get the 15, they get the whole thing. I think Arizona State wins that football game. And the conspiracy theory online right now is that they didn't call it targeting because you would have taken out one of Texas' best defenders. You'd have set Arizona State up for the game winner. And this is, you know, this is ESECPN calling the shots to make it easier for the SEC team to advance and not the Big 12 team out. Here's the thing, Lonzo, and this is going to be maybe the most controversial thing I say this week. And we will, I promise I will address this on tomorrow. Should have done it today. That's my bad and a failure. I don't think it was targeting.
It's absolutely targeting, for sure.
I don't think there was.
When it happened, a lot of people were angry about it because it was targeting. For sure, helmet-to-helmet contact, it's the definition
of targeting. The definition of targeting is not helmet-to-helmet contact. That is not the definition of targeting. The definition of targeting is helmet-to-helmet with the top of the crown with intent to create the contact. This, to me, was a tackle. My man's head is up. He is going in. The wide receiver catches the ball and drops in, and he does not launch into contact.
Clearly dipped his head, and for sure he'd launch into contact. If he didn't launch into contact, he would have just got run over.
No. I understand I am going to be in a vast minority on this.
Yes, you are.
But you guys understand, if there's anybody who would go after ESECPN for believing a game was rigged, it would be me. I wouldn't have called it targeting either.
I'm not talking about the rigging or anything else. I'm just saying that was definitely a penalty. And there were a lot of penalties that were not called yesterday, but that I thought was...
I agree with that. There was a block in the back on the punt return that was egregious and missed that would have taken a 75-yard touchdown off the board
Texas. Someone needs to explain to me what holding is, because the defenders for Ohio State getting through an Oregon, when you're reaching out like this and you got someone's arm and it's right there in clear view and no one meant it, that looks like holding to me.
Oh, dude, there was a couple of those in your game. There was a couple of those in Texas, Arizona State. There's one that's, I mean, clear as day. The right tackle has got the Arizona State defender from behind wrapped up right in front of the ref, and they don't call it. Ended up being a Texas Quinn Ewers touchdown, and I'm like, what are we doing here? I don't agree. The referee screwed Arizona State in this game, but I don't think it was a targeting.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Jeremiah Smith.
That dude...
He's legitimately Xing. Listen,
I was on BetMGM tonight last night when we were talking about this game, and I said while we're... Or excuse me, not BetMGM. 2 days ago, I was on talking about this game. No, BetMGM tonight. What am I talking about? Game was yesterday.
Well,
I was
when on you're talking on about so game. Many national
dude, I really
shows,
am. I really am. You know. I was on talking about this game in the early part of BetMGM tonight, and my takeaway in that one, Zoe, was... I know how the Oregon Ducks can stop Jeremiah Smith. Recruit Optimus Prime and suit him up, because I got nothing else. This kid's a freaking beast. You know what he is? College Calvin Johnson.
He's a freshman.
He's a freak.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's a
Look,
freshman.
Look, there was a spot. I told this story earlier. It was my favorite thing in this game. I was watching McAfee in the first quarter. You had the touchdown early. They come back. It's like 3rd and 9. And McAfee's like, you know, Oregon's in trouble if they can't find a way to stop Jeremiah Smith. At the exact moment, Will Howard uncorks one to him. He is in triple coverage tight. And he just elevates and posterizes the entire damn Oregon defense. And McAfee's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you, Ducks. You're officially Oregon ducked. I don't know what to tell you. There's no way to stop that. Short of go grab one of the Oregon basketball players and suit him up, I don't know what you do to stop that. And he's right. Ohio State plus 165 to win the Natty, the favorites by a lot now. And it's because of that kid. All right. That's it. Let's take a, what do you say, about a 20-hour break? We'll come back and do it again tomorrow. Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel makes their return this afternoon. Zoe and I are back tomorrow to do it all over again, but better. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.